in this series titled Win the Day, and today is part six, but I want to do just a quick review of some of the habits we've studied. We're looking at seven habits that will help us stress less and accomplish more. Some material by Mark Batterson. The first one was flip the script. And the truth is, everybody here has areas in their life where you want God to flip the script. What's that mean? To change the storyline going forward. We talked about that. Change your life by changing your story. Habit two was kiss the wave. And we all have waves in life. And by that I mean it's the struggles and the obstacles. But we learn that the obstacle is not the enemy. The obstacle is the way. And the principle was this. When you and I are up against a battle, we have to allow that to teach us, and it is the way that we learn. God will help us through it or overcome it. Number three was eat the frog. I love this one. It's when you get up in the morning, you do the hardest thing first. You do what's the most difficult. So, messages have impacts on people, and Jared Beach apparently was on the reservoir, and he came across a frog. So he brought it here last Sunday, and it was a big plastic thing. And I'll have Allison put a picture up, so Mom was going to eat the frog, I guess. So if you want God to do the supernatural or the super, we've got to do the natural. Number four was fly the kite. I love this one. It's one of my favorites. You and I are called upon at times to just fly the kite. It's doing something new. And it's a challenge. Little Holman Walsh, 15-year-old boy, flew the kite across the Niagara Gorge. A kite string became a suspension bridge. Suspension bridge. I'll get it out. And so you never know what you and I do in a simple act of kindness, a fly-the-kite experience. It can grow into something bigger. Well, we talked about cut the rope previous weeks, 2 weeks ago. And hey, there's times where we just have to let stuff go in life. You know, the older you get, you learn more about what's important and what's not. But even when we're younger, there's times you got to cut the rope. What's that mean? You got to let go of something in order to gain something else. Well, today is wind the clock. Wind the clock. And it's habit number six. And here's the kernel thought of the message. Time is measured in minutes. Life is measured in moments. In other words, there's a couple ways to look at time. Time is something we all deal with. And so the thesis here, time can be measured in minutes. We understand that. But it can also be measured by defining moments in life, such as graduating from college. I mean, there's defining moments in all of our life. So here's a picture of a clock, and we all understand time. It's 24 hours a day. We all get the same amount. Nobody more, nobody less. If God gives us a full day of life, we have the same amount of time. But the way we look at time and the moments we have in life's journey is a big deal. And so today we're going to talk about a couple of things. How do we wind the clock? How do we somehow make time count? I want us to understand time in two different ways this morning, all right? That's it for the message. Understanding time in two ways, okay? So if you have your sermon listening guide, we're going to jump in and get started. So the first point is this. Chronos time is about quantity. Now the word chronos, a Greek word, it means that it's a chronological thing. Now we understand chronologically we are all a certain age. We get older by the day. And so chronology is that sequential minute by minute we are getting older. So chronos time is all about quantity. Now, in your notes, there's a verse there, 90 verse 12 from Psalms. Let's read it together. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The psalmist And the Bible has a lot to say about time. And he's saying this, teach us, Lord, to number or count our days. I mean, we want to make them count. And it says that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So chronology, chronos time. We start with seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and years. It's this linear timetable that we all live a certain amount of time. Now, I like what another translation says about this same verse. It's on the back side of your notes. Teach us how short our life is, so that we may become wise. Teach us, Lord, how short life is. Now, when you're in your 20s, it seems like with work ahead and career, it seems like life is a long deal. But the older you get, you realize how short life really is. The New Living Translation says this, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Life is just as James says, it's a mist, it's a vapor that appears for a while, and then we're gone. I got the calculator out, and I did some number crunching. I turned 65 this year on April 4th. So I took 365.25 days times 65 years. The total is 23,741.25 days I lived as of my 65th birthday. I added to it another 25 days from April and another 16 days since today is the 16th of May. And I have lived 23,782.25 days. Now, I then got the calculator going on, what if I live to be 100? And I came up with a total of 36,525 days. I then took the number of days I'd lived into the number of days if I lived to be 100, and I'm at 65.1%. Now, if I don't live to be 100, the percentage goes up. But the point is, we are instructed to be aware of this thing called chronos time. Because it's important that we understand God has a plan for us, and it helps us prioritize life. I read an article about a fellow by the name of Tim Duncan, and I've got a picture of him. He's a basketball player, played 19 seasons for the San Antonio Spurs. They won 5 championships. He's one of the great power forwards of all time and just an amazing basketball player. But they were talking to him, interviewing him, and here's what he said after his retirement. They asked him what was the one moment that stands out above everything else, and he said this, I'm not going to name one thing that I appreciate the most. I enjoyed the journey. I enjoyed even more now looking back, just missing being a part of that, but also in the same respect, having gone through it, just understanding, listen, how present you have to be every day, every game. Now here's what he says. I was better at that later in my career. As you kind of see the end coming, where you're just like, okay, I'm here tonight. I appreciate this moment tonight, this practice today. I'm going to be present instead of being like, ah, I just have to get through this. It happens so fast. It goes by fast. I look back and I appreciate the entire journey. Here's what he's saying. The deeper he got into his career and the more mature or older he became, he began to see time differently. He says, I knew the end of the end of his career. And he said, I began to appreciate every game and every practice. He says, I wanted to live in the moment. Not just get through it, but to live in the moment. Here's a guy who I think was aware of chronos time. He knew there was a starting and a stopping point to his career. And he says, I just want to live in the moment. I think there's great value when you and I are aware of where we are at on the Kronos timetable of life itself. It somehow helps us focus, and it helps us to prioritize life. Excuse me. In Mark's book, he has a term I wasn't familiar with. It's called neoteny. It's in your notes, and I'll have Allison put it on the screen. Here's what it is. It's a zoological term that refers to the retention of youthful qualities into adulthood. In other words, in the animal world, and I think the human world, some people retain youthful qualities even when they get old. They call it neoteny. And I'm thinking, wow, what is it that keeps a person young? I mean, we're all different ages here, but some folks, they're just attractive even when they're older. And what is it about them? I think our example is found in the book of Joshua. His name is Caleb, and I'd like for you to read with me the couple of verses in your notes. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. Now, let's try and interpret and unpack that. Caleb is now 85. He was 40 when he went into the land of Canaan the first time with 11 other spies. You know the story. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, let's do it. 10 of them said, no, we can't do it. The 10 prevailed over the couple million Israelites. And God says, hey, if you don't want to believe me, I'll wait for the next generation. So every one of those people in that generation died off except for two people, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua became the leader. Caleb was just one of those present figures that made a difference. I think they had neoteny going on in their life. Caleb's 85, and he says this, I'm as strong today as the day Moses sent me out when he was 40. That's quite a statement. I'm just as vigorous to go to battle now as I was then. And then he says this, Joshua, give me the hill country. Hill country, it was Hebron. It was the ancestral burial plots of his forefathers. He wanted to grab that back from the enemy, to reclaim it, to take control of it. That was his vision. Now, here's the secret I think that Caleb had. And it's the secret we need to have. He had a vision that kept him going. You see, when you have a vision and you're actively involved with it, time will fly. But you know what it will do? It will slow down the aging process. If you want to stay young when you get old, just keep a vision in front of you. Something you're excited about, passionate about. You want to please God, serve God in a certain way. And I think with Caleb, he somehow, some way preserved his strength for many years. He's 85. And he had a red hot, passionate vision. God, give me Hebron. That's where my ancestral burial people were buried, my ancestors. And I want to go and just reclaim it. He thought about it for 45 years. You know what keeps us young, even though the clock ticks? Focusing and feasting on God's word and keeping a vision in front of us. And when that vision excites us and we get passionate about it, somehow, some way, I think it slows the biological clock of aging where we feel different, even though the body may get older. Neoteny. So point number one, as we think about Kronos time, the seconds to minutes, the weeks, we just need to be aware of it. You know why? We need to live in the moment. We just need to be aware of where we're at on the whole timetable, the chronological clock, and be aware. And God honors that. Well, let's go to the second kind of time. And this is interesting. It's called the Kairos time. It's all about quality. Kairos. So that's another Greek word, chronos and kairos, two different ways to look at time. Read with me Colossians 4 in your notes. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. I love what Paul says. When you are wanting to make life count, you're going to make the most of every opportunity. Some opportunities are great, some are greatly a challenge, but you make the most of every opportunity. Let's read it in the King James Version in your notes, the next verse. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. If you have a pen, circle the word redeeming. That's a key word. It means kairos. It means quality. It means making that moment count. It means to buy back, to make it your own, to rescue from loss. I love that. Rescue your time from loss. You make the most from the present opportunity. You seize it. It's like a buying opportunity you go after. And so a kairos moment is when you rescue it from loss and you somehow make it count, whatever that moment is. Mark tells about Tony Campalo, who is an evangelist, who at the age of 9 was taken up to the top of the Empire State Building. And that's a pretty high structure in New York City, if you've ever been there. And he got up to the top, and he looked out over the city. I don't think he'd ever seen anything like that before. And he saw these skyscrapers and the skyline. And it was one of those moments where time just seems to stand still. 9 years old. And he says, looking back on that, it was one of the highlights of his life. It's just like, it was a kairos moment. You see, sometimes we measure life in minutes, but life is measured in moments. And it was a moment for him he would always remember. Remember the story of Holman Walsh, the kite flyer? And when he was interviewed later in life about his younger years, he said his favorite memory was flying the kite over the Niagara Gorge, and he won that contest. But the point is this, everybody here has kairos moments where they're a defining moment, and your life is just impacted by them. Maybe it's partly an example would be a wedding or the birth of a child. You say, wow, that was way up there. A trip or a vacation. Or some meaningful experience of the family being together. It could be graduating from college. Or even the tough stuff of life. When we lose a loved one, it's a defining moment where we lean into God's grace. And it's we measure life by one of those kairos experiences. And God says in his word, redeem the time. Be aware of it, but go after it and make everything count wherever you're at on your life's journey. So a question we need to ask is, how do we wind the clock in kairos time? In other words, if it's all about defining moments, how do we wind that clock so we have more of them? Two simple thoughts. It's in your notes. The first one is this, letter A, pray. The greatest way to wind the clock in your life for these defining moments that rise to the top is when you and I spend time praying. In the book of Acts, we find in chapter 1, the disciples and about 120 people were gathered together. Jesus after his resurrection, was on earth and he appeared to people for 40 days. And then for the next 10 days, these 120 people were gathered together and they prayed. Read with me the verses in your notes. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. They all joined together constantly in prayer. At the end of those 10 days, you know what happened? It was called Pentecost, chapter 2. The Holy Spirit came and God moved in an amazing way, and things just started to happen in the life of those early believers. The Holy Spirit was poured out. You know how it came about? The people took time to pray. If you want to wind the clock in your life with Kairos time, spend some time before the Father. And just pray for the outpouring of the Spirit on your own life, in your kids' life, your family's life, your community. Listen, when God hears that kind of a prayer, he literally does something to prepare us for Kairos moments. I thought about the 10 days that these folks prayed, and I was challenged by it. And so I'm going to have Allison put the next slide up. It's called a 10-day prayer challenge. Maybe you want to start tomorrow. And for 10 days, give yourself to prayer and say, God, I want what happened in Acts chapter 2 to happen in my life and in my family. It's just calling upon God for his blessing, his guidance, the outpouring of his Spirit. And be prepared for a Kairos moment. What do I mean by that? I don't know. God will just show up in your life. And he will just bless you in an amazing way. Why? Prayer winds the clock. Secondly, letter B in your notes. The second thing we can do is this. Improve yourself every day. Improve yourself every day. I read about Pablo Casals. He was the greatest cellist to ever play. And at age 22, he had a private concert for Queen Victoria. He played for President Kennedy when he was 86, and he lived to the age of 96. But in his 80s, get this, he was still practicing. And so they asked him, well, why are you practicing 4 and 5 hours a day after your amazing life? Time achievements and accomplishments. This is what he said. He says, because I think I am making progress. He's in his 80s, and he's improving what he does best. You want to wind the clock in your life? Improve yourself, whatever your age is. Get better at it. Read. Learn, serve, just wind the clock, do better, improve yourself. And here's a guy who says, I think I'm making progress, and he's in his 80s. I love that response. So how do you really make the clock count and work for you? Well, the first thing is chronos time. It's being aware of this, where we're at in life. I mean, be aware. God says, teach us to number our days, or the psalmist does. Number two, Kairos time. That is redeeming it. It is making each moment count. They are Kairos moments. And how do we get more of them? Well, praying is the best way to wind the clock. God, here's my life. Bless me, my family. Just come and pour out your Spirit upon us, and then improve yourself. Every day. Just keep learning. Keep improving. Getting better at what you do. Well, in conclusion, I got a story I want to share about Eugene Peterson. He was the one who wrote The Message paraphrase, if you've ever read that. And he was in his 80s, and there was a group of people gathered around him, and they were talking about life's lessons and so forth. And he shared a story. He owns a home in, I believe it was Montana. It was a lake house. And one day he was watching the kingfisher, it's a big fish, catch a prey. And this bird was famous for its fishing finesse, but here's what he said happened. He was watching and counting the attempts by the kingfisher bird to grab a fish in the lake. And he's sharing this with these people, and he said he counted that the kingfisher tried 37 times before it caught its fish. 37 attempts. And as Eugene Peterson was talking with this group, he said, that's what you call staying power. It's when you don't give up, you refuse to quit, you will not be denied. God is always looking for the kingfisher follower. Somebody that won't give up. They pray, they're going to redeem the time, they improve themselves. And that person, the kingfisher, is the one that God will come alongside of and just bless their life in a new way. So when you think about time today, a couple thoughts at the bottom of your sermon listening guide. Value each minute. Live in the moment. That's chronos. Live in the moment. But kairos are when we have these experiences that we measure life by, these amazing experiences of being on top of the Empire State Building or graduating from college. They're marker moments. And the more marker moments you have, the more fuller the life. I'm amazed at some people who die relatively young. But as they talk about their life, they somehow, some way, were thankful for the quality kairos moments. And they said they were blessed and lived a full life while not old chronologically. They had kairos moments that gave them fulfillment in life, and they felt they were blessed because of those. Value each minute. Cherish each moment. Be a kingfisher. Don't give up. Stick with it. Go hard. Follow after it, and God will make time count for you. Let's pray. Father, as we bow this morning, I pray that you'll recalibrate each person listening to this message. And wherever we are at in life, in the timetable of life, help us to value each moment. Help us to be aware, to live in the moment, not to rush through it, not to hope that tomorrow's here, but today. Help us to value it. And Lord, I pray that each of us here will go after a 10-day challenge to wind the clock by praying, asking you for greater blessing for ourselves and our family for the kairos moments. Help us to improve ourselves each day, to be a Pablo Casa, to be better tomorrow, to always have a higher goal. So, Father, help us to be aware of time. Help us to value time with a husband or wife or children, friends, even church family. Help us to value that. And you'll fill our life with kairos moments, just like Tony Campolo had when he was on top of the Empire State Building at age 9. So, Lord, I pray you'll help each of us to be a kingfisher. Help us not to give up. We're gonna keep at it. We're gonna go after life. We're gonna make it happen. And I pray you'll bless this word to everyone's understanding today. In Jesus' name, amen.